Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John, I hope people don't shoot the messenger.
Oh, okay. What's the message?
This is in the news. I think it's a conversation. It's at least an ask. You saw what happened to Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he's out a minimum of 3 months.
And they're 2-0, but I don't think this is going to be a great year for Cincinnati missing their quarterback for 3 months.
Could there be another team that has been as unlucky? They do their own deeds themselves.
They kind of signed themselves up for this.
Right, but I mean, they start slow. And they've got Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, whole offense is rocking and rolling. And now this year, they finally start 2-0. They finally start fast. Even though week one wasn't a great showing against Cleveland, they still won.
At least a win.
And then your quarterback goes down.
You want to, just a quick side note here, a stat I saw comparing Joe Burrow to Andrew Luck. Burrow is in his sixth season. Luck played six seasons. Burrow has already been sacked 201 times. Luck was sacked 174. They're pressured at a 27 to 28% rate. They are doing to Joe Burrow what the Colts did to Andrew Luck.
Do you think he retires?
I'm not predicting that.
I don't think so either.
But if you want to know how dire it is and how neglectful the Bengals have been, I think that's jarring to see that. It was on one of the NFL Live yesterday.
It is. It's jarring to see the numbers. And we've talked about that since basically Joe Burrow has been in the NFL. The amount of times that he is being sacked, the times he is being hit is ridiculous. And they refuse to. I know that they've tried.
And failed.
But they refuse to protect him. So now he's hurt.
And where's their season going? I think we would all forecast a rough 3 months ahead for the Cincinnati Bengals. And does that make the trade deadline very, very interesting, John?
It does, because this week they're going to go on the road and face the Minnesota Vikings, who are down a quarterback as well.
Although maybe getting an upgrade with Carson Wentz.
And so leading up to the trade deadline, everybody's looking at going, okay, well, what do they have? They're at Minnesota, at the Broncos. And then they play the Lions.
Lions game could be good for a couple reasons. You win the game and you also push them into the seller camp.
Right. And it's at the Packers. When is the trade deadline?
Normally like week 8, give or take.
Yeah. I'll find that out here.
You're good. I think the question we're all going to get to is Trey Hendrickson on the table and what should the Lions do? Because again, he's not on a 5-year deal. There's no extension. This would be an in-season move. You would be trading for a pass rusher on a 1-year deal to chase a championship.
So it's November 5. And then following the Lions, they play at the Packers. Okay, so
probably another
loss.
The
point is that the Steelers, they got the Jets, the Bears, and that leads them to the trade deadline.
They could stabilize a little bit with some soft teams, but no wins or gimmies with a backup quarterback. John, if they got a losing record, they got to do what's right for their franchise. They need to trade Trey Hendrickson on the last year of his deal. He's an aging player who could help a contender and help them reboot.
So the question is, does Brad Holmes get on the line?
We have Aiden Hutchinson, though.
Does Brad Holmes get on the line? Because while he didn't upgrade that position in the offseason, what did he do last year?
Traded for Za'Darius, but that was to replace Aiden. We have Aiden. You know how they view this defensive line.
Right. This is, and I think some of it has to do with how the Lions are doing, strengths and weaknesses leading up to the trade deadline. And I think, you know, one of the glaring weaknesses is pass rush. Even with Aiden Hutchinson, that's a glaring weakness. And I know people are going to say, well, they had 4 sacks against the Bears. Those sacks came in garbage time. Now, they did pressure him more than they pressured Jordan Love, but it's still an issue. If it continues to be an issue, they're going to have to do something if they believe that this is an opportunity for them to make a run in the playoffs.
When did you say the deadline is?
It's November 5.
Okay, so the Lions will play the following teams between now and then. Baltimore, Cleveland, call it a push, 2-2. They play at Cincy. I think we're feeling good about that being a win. Kansas City without Rice right now.
I feel like they should win that game. That's what Goff does against Mahomes.
So they would be 4-2. Tampa on Monday night.
Tough one.
Even if we give them a loss.
4-3.
4-3. Bye week, Minnesota win, 5-3. You're 5-3. You've stabilized. You have a chance to add at the trade deadline. Trey Hendrickson played in New Orleans when Dan Campbell was there. He's led the league in sacks the last two seasons. He gives Aiden a bookend so you don't have to double team him. He's a put you over the top piece. You don't have to commit long term. Yeah, you can't roll as much cap over, but you're trying to win a Super Bowl this season, and he would help them do that.
What do you give up for him?
I give up a first round pick, which I think is an overpay,
but I'm
willing to overpay. I don't want to be shut out. I don't want someone else to say, well, our second's better, or we can do a second and a fifth. Here's a first. Go ahead. I dare you to hang up the phone. What am I using the first for?
Well, you have no idea. But I don't know that. I mean, so here's the thing about NFL trades, especially at the trade deadline, for a guy that's on an expiring contract. Now, yes, you could franchise him, but that's going to be another hefty price tag. If your plan is, hey, we just want him for the rest of this year, and then we'll let him walk in free agency, there couldn't be a better opportunity than going after Trey Hendrickson. Now, we'll see what they do with Jake Browning. I think Jake Browning is a quality backup.
Still a backup.
But he's still a backup. He is, at best, 33rd in the NFL because he's not a starting quarterback. Maybe he's better than some of the other ones. But you're looking at a team that if their playoff hopes, their Super Bowl aspirations have gone bye-bye, they're going to look to see how can we improve our team, because Trey Hendrickson is going to leave in free agency after the season. They've upped what they're paying him, but they don't even have to pay it. They could unload him and then say, well, we'll get some draft picks. And I'm always shocked at what guys get traded for. You always think they're going to be for a first or a second. I honestly think that if he is traded at the trade deadline, he's probably going to go for a third.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, then offer a second. Like, you need to offer the best deal and land the big fish. You're chasing a Super Bowl.
I agree.
And I think the offensive line
is waiting to the trade deadline too late.
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I guess the job of a general manager is to kind of know what the word on the street is and to make those phone calls and just go, hey, before you make a move, don't lose my number. Let's circle back. Mm-hmm. Don't let something slip through the cracks here.
We can make it worth your while.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think just a two would get this done. Like, if you're looking to not do a one, then I think the example trade that you look at is the Christian McCaffrey trade, where they gave up a 2-3-4 in 2023. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was a fifth in 24.
They play in the Super Bowl that year?
Yeah.
They did, yeah. They didn't win it. I know. Nothing's a guarantee, but that's the kind of move you're trying to make.
The thing is, now they didn't. And then you need that capital right now if you're the Niners.
Yeah, if you think every year you can win the Super Bowl, but like the reality is windows do exist.
Yeah, it's getting one, not trying to get three, you said many times.
Now, our audience is not happy that we've brought this up, John. Tech says, are we really doing this? This is Bregman 2.0. Another one says, Brad would rather drink a cup of vomit than trade for a pass rusher. Quit getting fans riled up. You guys do it every week. He does not care about pass rush, Brandon in Hazel Park.
Ugh. Why did you have to use that analogy?
The reason we're bringing this up because the situation has changed. This was like if the biggest problem right now is the Bengals are 2-0. I mean, they're going to have to really go south, or I don't think they'd be willing to throw in the towel, because
I think they're going to have to use a judgment call. Like, if they're 3-4, or whatever, 3-5, or 4-4, use a judgment call. Are you winning the Super Bowl? Are you even making the playoffs? Burrow's still a month away.
Howie Roseman would make this trade if he was the Bengals, because he's a smart GM.
And I think Howie Roseman would make this deal if he was the Lions GM,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. But if you're dealing with a team that is just, they are weird. And I know a texture point out, they're stubborn. They're old school ownership. They don't do things common sense sometimes. I mean, look, you go back in their draft, you talk about their protecting Burrow. They went 22-23 without drafting an offensive lineman. Think about that. After they got their toys.
Yeah, not bright. John, I want your response to this ticket text on the other side.
Okay.
Eric and Mason says Hendrickson isn't coming to Detroit because for some reason Brad is stubborn. I think, Tom, you're alluding to this. Brad is stubborn and thinks he knows more than everyone. I wonder if he does it out of spite. Talking about Hendrickson, is it on the table? It's 97.1.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.